Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Lord, we're going to be singing that as a congregational hymn as well. Lift High the Cross. Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's House, those on radio, WPHM, and internet through the podcast, WPHM.net. Our broadcast and worship here at Our Savior on this September the 8th. So, youth are back in school, life is kicking in. And since a month ago, 5 weeks, we have lost 2 hours of daylight. Have you missed that? Oh, an hour at each end. Sun was coming up over the horizon at 10 to 8 this morning. It used to be 6 o'clock. So, but that's the nature of the Earth's rotation and curvature and angle. And God set it in motion, and it was good. Do want to say something about the radio broadcast this day, sponsored by the Dorsbacher family. In August 16th, back in 1976, Columbus, Ohio, then in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I was ordained as a pastor of the Evangelical Lutheran Church. Actually, it was the American Lutheran Church back then. And then brought into the new church, ELCA. So, 43 years completed in the denomination, I was ordained. I was serving as a pastoral person, compensated and full functioning with sacraments for 4 years prior to that, between Lutheran and Presbyterian churches. That's what prepared me for being a Presbyterian minister in Crosby, North Dakota, where the Bears, no. It was a good experience. Thank you. Flowers this day, two people. Donna Taylor has presented the flowers in memory of her husband, Roger, on the altar. The beautiful bouquet in front of the baptismal font by a friend, Dave Carley, was formerly of Port Huron, now resides in Wisconsin. In memory of Crystal Ferris, who passed away 1 year ago at this time. Crystal and him were friends, and he was present when I took sacrament to Crystal before she passed away, which was a coinky dinky, which was a good experience together, the three of us. So he called me 2 weeks ago and he says, can you put flowers in? I said, we have somebody, we'll make it special for you. So that flower arrangement is in front of the baptismal font, and I shall send him pictures of it. Lawn service this week will be provided by Lori Parker. So, our service will begin with confession of sin. This is the service of the Word. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the strength of our ancestors, the host of this meal, the builder of the city that is still to come. Amen. If we have died with Christ, we shall also live with Christ. So let us confess our sin to the one who is faithful. God, our helper, we confess the many ways we have failed to live as your disciples. We have not finished what we began. We have feasted with friends but ignored strangers. We have been captivated by our own possessions. Lift our burdens, gracious God. Refresh our hearts and forgive our sin. Raise us to new life that you have chosen for us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There is rejoicing in heaven when sinners repent. Put your trust in these promises. God will never leave you, nor will God forsake you. You were lost, and you have been found. For the sake of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Rejoice with the angels at this good news. Amen. We sing our entrance hymn, as you heard in the prelude by Lori, Lift High the Cross. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hymn of praise, glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Thank you. The Lord be with you. You'll join me in the prayer for this day. We'll pray it together. Direct us, O God, in all of our doings with your continual help, that in all of our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name. And finally, by your mercy, bring us to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. If you'll please be seated. We have the reading of God's Word. And Judy brings us our first reading from Deuteronomy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. Moses speaks to the Israelites who are about to enter the land promised to their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In this passage, he lays out the stark choices before them. Choose life by loving and obeying the Lord, or choose death by following other gods. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. If you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord, your God, walking in his ways and observing his commandments, decrees and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Psalm of the day on this non-communion Sunday service of the word is the first psalm, which introduces the 150 of them in the book. The antiphon is, we are like trees planted by streams of water. Responsively, we read it. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night. And they are like trees planted by streams of water. And they are like trees that are planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand upright when the judgment comes, nor the sinner sitting with the counsel of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed. They are like trees planted by streams of water. Our second reading.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our second reading for today comes from Philemon verses 1 through 21. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your peace may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Katie. If you're able to stand for the gospel reading and acclamation, please do so. Together we speak the acclamation. Alleluia! Let your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. Hallelujah. Gospel for this day is from Luke's Gospel, 14th chapter, beginning with the 25th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus. He turned, the Lord, and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down, estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete the task? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation, he's not able to finish it. All who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and he wasn't able to finish.' Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and then consider whether or not he, with his 10,000 soldiers, to the purse of the one who is against him, who has 20,000 in his army? If he cannot, then, while the other is still at a distance, far away, he sends a delegation and he asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. For those on radio or by future podcast, grace and peace from the one who is the author and giver of life, both now and in resurrection. Amen. Looking at the scriptures for this day, I guess the question I asked as I studied these lessons, what's it worth to you? What's that? The kingdom of God. What is it to you that you should be called a Christian? It's acceptable? What if it becomes unacceptable? It's socially, but is that what it's about? Is it worth your whole life and your whole being? That's the question Christ poses. But we begin with the Old Testament reading. You like to follow a sermon outline or walk with me through the Bible. Page 6, Deuteronomy. Moses had the responsibility of saying right in the face of Israel, now that they're coming through those 40 years of the wilderness, ready for Joshua to take them into the promised land. They've had their rocky relationship with God all those years, and Moses many times would say, oh, these people, they're a stiff-necked people. Yeah, stubborn. And understanding that we as humans have a tendency to dig our heels in when God says, no, don't dig your heels in. Now get up and follow me. Get with it. Or as a famous comedian would say, get her done. Get her done. See it through. He puts it in proposition terms. If then, if not then, conditional kind of language. If you will follow the Lord your God and obey him, you will have life and prosperity. Now, people want to hear that. I listen to the TV preachers, and they want to give you prosperity. Just send your check to them. And it's like, that's convoluted. No, it's not about sending your check to him. It's about obedience to God and not to the human instrument that God places before us. We are called to live a life that is totally enveloped and central to God being the steerer of our life's ship, the pilot of our life, to see us through and to navigate the close encounters with evil and the bumps and bruises of living in this world. If you obey the commandments, Moses says to Israel, I am commanding you this day, if you love God, walk in God's ways, observing his commandments, his decrees, his ordinances, you will live. Now, if we were playing The Price is Right or The Curtains, you know, what's behind curtain one and what's behind curtain two? Which curtain do you want? If you take this curtain, you'll have life and prosperity. And I can see every American saying, I want it, I want it, I want it. They're not going to hear the second part. That is, if you don't do what the Lord your God says to do, if you do not commit all your resources and your total life to God's choice and God's purpose, you will experience death and destruction. You see, it's one way or the other way. It's no middle ground with God. God plays second fiddle for nobody. For those of us who had to memorize the Ten Commandments in catechism, I still remember some 60 years later. At the end of the commandments, he says, remember that the Lord your God is a jealous God, visiting iniquity upon the third and the fourth generation of those who despise me and disobey me, but showing steadfast love to the third and fourth generation of those who love me and obey me. They shall live. Those were words fashioned in the context of the commandments, the law, the Torah, given to Israel and to the people of God for all generations. God did not abrogate it. Jesus did not come to erase them. They are binding on Christians and non-Christians alike, not whether or not they believe in God or not. They're still binding. You can't get out of the yoke of the law. And that became fundamental for Luther, that we're all under bondage to that law. It's fundamental to understand why Christ was necessary. If we could have done it on our own, then Jesus was superfluous. He wasn't necessary. But in fact, we cannot do it on our own, and that's why we need a Savior. And God understood that. That's why he sent his son in this time and space to redeem us from the cross and the law and life, to give us eternal life. So in the consequences of the barter of what are you going to do, you know, when you look upon a newborn child or grandkids, you think, oh, what is the potential here, right? What they could do and what they will do, and I hope they will do, you know, steer through life, make right choices. But is it ever in your thoughts and your prayers that they will also find God on their path and journey? That they will discover a life in Christ that is more fulfilling than what this world panders as fun and pleasure? Will they find a path that leads to service to other people for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ? It's certainly important enough to ask. Are we looking for them to get a good education, get a good job, so they're not living at home? You know how all sociologists are pointing out that we have Generation 2 following who are staying at home up to age 30 and 35? It's that understanding that, you know, maybe we want them launched, but we want them safe when they're launched. How about safe in the arms of Christ? Does that enter our mind? At the end of the passage before us, Moses puts it again. Choose life. Choose so you and your descendants will live. Love God, obey Him, hold fast to Him, and that means life to you. And your days will be long. I guess it's kind of the assumption and the belief in the Hebrew thought pattern that if we parents trained our children, we know today that doesn't always work. But if we could train them, emulate through our modeling the life of Christ before their eyes, in our home, in our arguments, and in our pursuits, our priorities at home, our children will learn how to serve God and serve the neighbor. And we won't have to talk like we're speaking to a wall that's totally blank. But to understand by our example, we ourselves, if you recall the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. So this is the only commandment of the ten that has a promise. That makes it important. So that your days as parents, not as the children, will be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. The principle behind that in the Hebrew system was the understanding if we as parents can train our kids in the right values, barring the world's capturing them, they will take care of the parents, and we will have a copacetic relationship. We know because of sin that doesn't happen, but it certainly indicates what type of life and what the benefit is that is spoken here by Moses. Your days will be long if you live this type of life. And the land which you live in will be given over to your descendants. So the importance of following the rules, committing one's life, determining what's important, and what is adiaphora? That was a word I always liked in seminary. Adiaphora means fluff. It would be easier to say fluff, wouldn't it? But I wouldn't have impressed you. Adiaphora. It's worthless. It's dross. It's garbage. Okay. Second reading. I had to kind of chuckle when Katie was reading Philemon, thinking it was chapter 1 through chapter 21. This is the only writing in the New Testament that has only one chapter. How about that? It's hard to believe Paul could write anything that small when you see how long he takes in so many other things. And it's very natural to think, this must be a misprint. It's not. What's the situation? He has a servant who's working with him as a kind of a brother in ministry. He formally... doesn't go into the details how Onesimus came to work for him, but he's working in the gospel and he's producing, and Paul's in jail, house arrest, in the city of Rome. He knows his death can take any time when Caesar says, I reject your case, your death as an atheist. See, you know, our Christians were considered atheists by the Roman Empire because we did not confess Caesar as God. The Christian church said Jesus is Lord, which meant in parentheses God. Therefore, Christians were atheists, we know better, but we didn't worship Caesar. That's the truth. So in the course of things, he's in arrest, soon to die. He doesn't want to lose Onesimus. He's an important part of the ministry, especially if Paul can't get out of the house to conduct his affairs. but he also has heard the report that Philemon once owned Onesimus. Now, for those of you who study history and what does the Bible teach about slavery, the Bible never breaches the subject of slavery, right or wrong. Okay? So on both sides of the Civil War, they could throw Bible bullets back and forth, but both sides would be correct because there was no position. Paul does speak about slavery, and he says, if I send my servant back to you, Philemon, I hope you will treat him with dignity and respect, not as a secondary citizen, okay? This is important in contemporary language. When we're dealing with discrimination, race, ethnicity, you name it. Not a second class, but you will treat him as you would treat me who brought you to faith in Jesus Christ, with dignity and respect. I expect nothing else from you, Philemon. And then I like his logic, if you follow it. I always have to chuckle how Paul uses manipulative words to get his angle. No, I know I don't have to say much to you, but I'm going to go ahead and say something to you, Philemon. You know that it's appropriate for you to do for him what is right. And you know that as a Christian, you have responsibility how you treat other people. You do what is right, but I'm going to suggest, I'm not going to force you. I like that. What did you just do with your words? You presented a one-sided story. I'm not going to force you. You use your own deciding power. I'm going to send them to you. I could keep them here with me, and then you don't even have to make a decision. But I'm going to send them back to you, and I want you to choose the right thing. It's back in our court. What is the right thing? How do we treat our neighbor? How do we treat somebody else in the church? How do we deal with the stranger? How do we deal with time past? Who knows how many years passed? And do you still hold a grudge? You are to receive him as you would receive me, Paul instructs. That's the Christian thing to do. In the closing portion, he says, I'm confident, here's the manipulative language, I'm confident of your obedience. I'm writing to you. Knowing you'll do even more than what I am suggesting and saying to you. Oh, yes, Paul. You want an affirmative response from Philemon. We have responsibilities to neighbor. In spite of social conditions, in spite of what the structures, the givens, and the sinfulness of those structures are, to do what God says is right. And do it. Third lesson, Luke, 14th chapter. In this particular passage, Jesus is talking about this high cost. I chose for the banner that Fred Morrison put up for me, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Those words are in all the principal gospels, the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You will find them as the call, many times it's a Lenten theme, because it leads us to Good Friday, but it's not a Good Friday text, okay? It's a text about in your life, daily. When you get up in the morning, do you give that day in your prayers, if you offer prayers, to the Lord? To guide you in decision-making, to guide you to do what is appropriate in God's purpose, God's plan for us? Or do you just say, I'm going to hit the alarm a little longer, I want to sleep? You see, our life, our time is God's. We're just, what, servants? And so being servants, we are managers of that time. You can blow it, and then when you're older or at some time in your life or medical diagnosis, you say, I wish I would have done it differently. Well, you know, all the wishes do not make it happen. Each day is a day of decision, just like Moses said, just as Christ says, who will you serve this day? Understanding that ultimately we are accountable for time, for resources, for monies, and for behaviors, for language, for thoughts. God doesn't give us an inch of wiggle room. We are under God's Torah, the law. and it condemns us. And so Christ says, who wouldn't consider how much it costs to get something done? Now, in the city of Pittsburgh, when I grew up, we had a bridge that was called the Bridge to Nowhere. It's almost funny to think that engineers would spend millions of dollars to build a bridge that stopped in the middle of the Ohio River. It had a way to get on the bridge, but no way to get off. They realized when they had it halfway done, how many millions of dollars did that take? And engineers gave approval, and councils and groups looked it over, the plans, and said, where's it supposed to land? Who's in charge of this job? It stood there for about 20 years. But it wasn't a bridge that got people to be connected to do their business or travel or recreation. It was a place where people went out and committed suicide. That's what happens. Poor planning. But a political boogle, just a farce. How you need to plan ahead. You gotta think ahead. How's this gonna finish? How's this gonna conclude? How's my life? What is the life I wanna present to God? Not because of deeds or works, but because I'm sincere, Lord. You are my center. You're my guidepost. You're my Lord. How do I want to see my life conclude in the time I have left with no regrets or as few as possible? Then he talks about the king. He's assessing what's the battle scene going to look like. He's got 10,000 troops. That seems like a lot unless you're opposing a force that has 20,000, right? You think, oh my gosh, we're going to be squashed like a fly. So he reconsiders. He says, no. I'm going to send an emissary to meet with the opposition and see if we can't come to reason together and a rational approach to solve our problems. It's in that way Christ says, think about it. Think about, do you want to lose it all? Or do you want to come closer to what God has intended for his children from the dawn of creation? And then Christ goes on to say, therefore, none of you can become my disciples unless you give up all possessions. Now, before we take an altar call or pass plates for your keys, your purses, your wallets, give up all your possessions, come on. This in scripture is called a hyperbole. Hyperbole. Look up what that means in grammar. That means an overstatement of what is true just to get your attention. And that's what Christ wants. Usually in my English class in eighth grade, when the teacher was trying to describe what that's like, hyperbole, is when you and I say things like, you know, everybody, you know how kids say, everybody's doing it. That's a hyperbole. Because you quickly, as a parent, will respond, oh, no, they're not, you're not. Beat them at the pass. Hyperbole is an overstatement, but it contains some truth. And so it does here. If God and the kingdom of Christ means anything to those who bear the name of Christ, just like we sang, lift high the cross, we begin to understand he has to be central. We can't rationalize it, say, I'm just a sinner, God, you know that, you made me. No, that's not an excuse. I know a lot of people, and course of the years of ministry have said, you know, if God wanted us perfect, he would have made us perfect. Obviously, God's not perfect, or he would have done it right. And I just practically gag on that one. God gave us free will. We screw it up. If your child is given a set of keys to drive the car and they go out and get drunk and total the car and they die and other people, is it your fault if you didn't know what they were going to do? No, but in some cases, I'm sure lawyers would say, well, you gave them the keys, and it was your car. Reality is we are responsible for what we do with what we have. And we can't project it and place it at God's feet and say, God, you did it. And God didn't do it. We are responsible for what we do in our time and our life. So, possessions. I think I said this couple weeks ago when Christ says one of these things, these hyperboles, is the reality that in Scripture, if you were, as scholars have done, count a number of Bible verses that talk about wealth, mammon, and possessions, those are three words interchangeable used by Christ, compare those with where Christ says something about prayer. He says more about possessions than he does about prayer. Why? He knows how possessions possess us, how they become central to our attention, central to our focus, central to life, because, oh, we're just poor people and we're anxious about many, many things. And I remember my Lord saying, oh, look at the birds out there, the sparrows. I look at my chickens and ducks. They don't worry about a darn thing except if now I have an owl coming near them. I'm worrying for them. They don't have to worry. Reality is God has prepared and set this thing all in order. He has a plan. He's executing, and one day he will come again to take his faithful to be with him forever. May the God of grace, who calls us from the days of Moses and before to the days of Christ in resurrection and to the second coming, keep us firmly in the truth and not lose sight why we are here. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Our service continues with the hymn, O Master, Let Me Walk With You. Please rise. We affirm our faith. Words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. And on the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with prayers.
sustained and nurtured by our generous God, we gather as one to pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Turn our hearts, O God. Make us attentive to your call to take up the cross-shaped way of life and to share your good news with a world in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Turn our hearts toward life in all its infinite varieties. We pray especially for all vanishing and endangered creatures who struggle to find a home in this world. Open our eyes to the value of our interconnected relationships within your natural world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Turn our hearts toward all who yearn for calm and fairness. Where there is violence and conflict, grant peace. Where there is disparity, grant justice. Where there is hatred and fear, grant compassion and empathy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Turn our hearts toward all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for those in bondage to sin, addiction, poverty, physical slavery, or human trafficking, and those incarcerated or detained. For those in need, we pray. And we pray today for Susan Phillips, Jill Harper, Jarrett Lucas, Lisa Slater, Maria Ronf, Mary Balderston, Melanie McLean Auker, Gary Pike, Bob McMorrin, Bev Chittister, Ann McCrae's nephew, John Sperling, Patricia May, Debbie Colley's friend, Benita Worth Baker. And we also remember and ask that you would comfort the family of Beth Oswald with her passing and the family of Joan Barr with her passing. We also pray for all those affected by Hurricane Dorian and the tornadoes in North Carolina. Lord, be with all these people as they put their lives back together. Give them your renewed hope, Lord. Remember those serving our nation, including Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Solier, and Faye Wright. Return them home from their service, both overseas and here in our own United States. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Turn our hearts toward the ministries of our congregation that feed the hungry, share with the needy, advocate for the silenced, and work for your justice. Embolden our hearts to labor without fear. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Turn our hearts toward your eternal reign. We give thanks for our sisters and brothers who have died, trusting the promise of life forever with you, marked by the cross of Christ. Inspire us by their examples to live in faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Assured by your promise to hear us, we pray and we lay our prayers before your throne of grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. If you'll please be seated, we receive our gifts which enable our ministries. Kind of for those on radio who are listening to us and are coming to the second service, remember this is the day we do once a year for a potluck. And we are bringing in KFC plus side dishes that the members provide, so that we have a joyous time coming together after the summer kind of separation. Just keep that in mind. We join together for a potluck meal and fellowship today at 12 o'clock. Also, just kind of keep before you, it's on my mind throughout this service, Scott Pike is not here. Last posting on Facebook last night, 5:30 p.m. I don't know if anything's come in after 7 a.m. That's when I stopped checking my phone. But his brother was near death. He was on hospice for the last week, and he may have truly passed away. Don't know. Just keep the family in prayer. something is happening. Obviously, he's not here for this day as a deacon. So just to keep that in mind. The prayer list that you heard, Maria Romp, she had a medical setback. That's why she's back on our prayer list. Mary Boulderston has been given a negative diagnosis, dealing in her battle with cancer. So remember Mary of this church in your prayers. A joyful thing, Shirley called me, Shirley McLean called, Melanie's grandmother, Doug McLean's wife. And she says, oh, we listen to you every week on the radio. So Shirley, Melanie, we're talking about you. Shirley's doing well physically, obviously grieving the loss of her husband, changes of lifestyle. Melanie lives a distance away, married about 2 years. Melanie of this congregation, just a refresher, if you didn't know, she graduated from Gettysburg Theological Seminary about 2 years ago as well. And she serves the Lord in different capacities over there in Pennsylvania. If you had to find a spot on the map, they live near Hershey, PA, but not in Hershey. So right in that general vicinity of Pennsylvania. Melanie's health has changed, Shirley indicated, and she's under more pain and more restrictions by her body. And Lord knows she's gone through a lot of surgeries through in Chicago with the Shriners, and a lot of different things that she's battled to, having had CP in her life at birth, and now in her 30s, she is fighting the good fight, but her body is now responding. So keep her in your prayers as well. In the course of things, hopefully you got your newsletter and are referencing. Looking forward, now Monday night, for those who are in my class on Monday night, but you haven't seen it or in the e-letter, we do not meet for class tomorrow night. We'll meet the following week. Monday night Bible study starts the following week. We do start the Wednesday morning adult study at 10:30 to 12, so join us. If you were to ask me, what are we going to study? I'd have to tell you, I don't know, because I let the adults choose. We will discuss it, and we'll take what is interesting and by choice of those in the class. But that evening at 6:30 to 8 o'clock, we're going to bring in at least 9 youth for confirmation. That's 3 times what we ended the year with in May. So needless to say, Scott and I are tickled pink. But it's possible with Scott's situation, he may not be here for this first class. So we're looking forward to a year with confirmation. This, we consider this rally day, or I'll be there Sunday, the reason for the potluck, our gathering together. Our worship continues then as our gifts are presented. The hymn that we're going to be singing, just to refresh you, Change My Heart, O God, we sing twice, which means the context, and then the refrain is the top line. And then we'll sing it a second time, and then we go back to the refrain above again. Okay? Please rise. Thank you.
Let us pray. God, our provider, we bring nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. Accept the gifts you have first given us, which we bring to your table, and with them, the offering of our lives. Nourish us now with a life that really is life, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray as Christ has taught us, and today we sing the Lord's Prayer, please. Guard the good treasure that has been entrusted to you, and with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Almighty God, bless you with grace, mercy, and peace, now and forever. Amen. Closing hymn, still one of the ones that was selected by the members, A Mighty Fortress.
Go in peace. Live in love as Christ loved us. Thanks be to God.
Worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.